Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented individuals who are going to show their skill with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Jenny Eclair, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Kerry Godleyman. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow the whistle and run the stopwatch for me. And we begin the show this week with Giles Brandreth. Giles, the Mississippi. Tell us something about that amazing river in this game, starting now.
The rolling Mississippi. Not many people know that years ago I was roadie to a girl band known as Pussycat. They came from Holland and recorded a number, Mississippi, that was a sequel, really, to the Bee Gees' Massachusetts. And we went on a tour from the state of Mississippi to New Orleans along the Mississippi. And during this, I formed a relationship with one of these beautiful people who we called Mississippi because that was a kind of code word that we had between us. And on this great and extraordinary flow of water, the Mississippi, the rolling wheels of the boat.
Paul Challenge.
Did we have rolling before at the beginning?
I think you did have rolling before. I'm so pleased the audience play along with
it. I think that was Lord Reef, wasn't it?
So that was confirmation from the audience as well. And it was a repetition of rolling. Paul, a correct challenge. A point to you for that. And you take over. It's 21 seconds available. The Mississippi starting now.
The Mississippi is married to George Ippy, and she's a lovely woman. And I remember saying to her once, I bet you can roll all the way down the hill. And the Mississippi, I remember thinking to myself, I would love to swim in its cool waters, perhaps upstream, maybe down, and feel myself embroiled in that beautiful liquid up to my ears.
In this game, whoever is speaking, the whistle goes, gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Paul Merton. So he's in the lead at the end of the round. Anyway, Kerry Godleyman, will you begin the next round? The subject, a bargain. Talk about one or many, starting now.
I enjoy a bargain, and sometimes I have purchased things that don't quite fit me because I got it on a special offer, which is fine for some garments, but not great for shoes. I have been known to squeeze my size 5 feet into a 3 or 4, which is agony when you go to a discotheque and dance around all the different people with the normal shoes on.
Shoes, yes.
I'd have done exactly the same. And I have done exactly the same.
We've all been
I'm
there.
A size 5.
We probably
well,
were the same disco.
Yes.
It's the national average.
Really?
Apparently so.
I always look at my feet and think, how dainty.
No, they're the national average. That's why it's really hard to get a 5
women
in a sale.
Women with a size 2 then.
And anybody else got any rude words about it? All right, Jenny, correct challenge. 36 seconds available. A bargain starting now.
The last time I bought a bargain, it was a bumper pack of lavatory roll. 100 of them for 50p. Trouble was, I had to carry the lot home. And everyone was looking at me as if to say, poor cow, must have a terrible bowel condition. Hope she gets back to her house without any nasty accidents. Of course, many things turn out not to be bargains in the end. This is when the adage, buy cheap.
Was that the end of the adage, buy cheap?
It was buy cheap, buy twice, and I knew what I was going to do.
So, Paul, you've got him with 5 seconds to go. A correct challenge, a point to you. A bargain is the subject, starting now.
As I stood in front of the Rolls Royce, I looked in my pocket and I realised I had just...
Right. So, who was speaking then when the whistle went? Paul Merton. And he's naturally taken the lead at the end of the round. And Jenny Eclair, we'd like you to begin the next round keeping a secret. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I'm the last person you should tell a secret to. I can't even keep my own. When I was a teenager, I used to write down everything awful that I'd done in my diary, which meant that within 24 hours, my mum and sister had read it and I'd be in such trouble. I'm the type of person you tell something and it goes round like impetigo in a children's playground. I've got what they call a baggy mouth. Secrets drop from my lips. Don't tell me anything. The last thing I want to hear is, whatever you do, do not speak of this to any other living soul. This is just red rag to a bull. Say a girl tells me she snogged another woman's boyfriend, I can't wait to see Hillary and tell her about her famous friend.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of tell.
Yes.
No doubt.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that disappoint you?
No, you did go for 49 seconds.
Oh.
What did Hillary say when you told her about the...
Well, she said she knew she was a slag anyway and she'd always hated her.
I knew it.
I said, that's what I wrote on the toilet wall, love. You can see it.
Right. So, Paul, you have...
I wish I'd let you carry on now.
You have 11 seconds, Paul. You've got another point for that, of course. Keeping a secret, starting now.
As I looked into the eyes of Nicholas Parsons, with the midday sun beating down upon our brows, I kissed him fully on the lips. I said, between you and I, this must remain a secret.
And no one challenged for deviation.
It's perfectly acceptable these days.
It may be acceptable, but it didn't happen.
Oh. Thank you very much.
So, Paul, you're outrageous, but they love it. You have a point for speaking as the whistle went, and where were you to begin? Oh. And the subject is limericks. Tell us something about limericks in this game, starting now.
There is a limerick I've said before on this programme, so I will be guilty of repetition, but as it was a different show, perhaps it's okay. There was a young man from Bombay who took a slow boat to the Far East one day. He was pinned to the tiller by a sex-starved gorilla, and China's a bloody long way. Now, of course, I think this tells us a great deal about the interaction between humans and the animal kingdom. Edward Lear was a great exponent of the limerick, and our esteemed chairman has performed a one-man show about him over the years. Although the aforementioned author did do his...
Giles Challenge.
Little hesitation, given Paul's normally high standards. The mouth got a little bit...
I think you're desperate to get in, aren't you? I don't think there was any hesitation.
Oh, no. Of course not.
No, of course.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's fine. I'll remember to mention your one-man show as well when it's my turn.
Paul, an incorrect challenge. You have a point. 28 seconds available. Limericks starting now.
There is something very pleasing about a good limerick. We like the rhythm and the rhymes, and if the words...
Oh.
Now, that was a hesitation. Sure.
That was a hesitation. Oh, thank you. So you've got a point.
Oh, thank
and you have...
And can I say, the show is one of the best things I've ever seen. You bring Lear to life. I mean, I thought it was going to be King Lear, but it turned out to be Edward Lear, and it was still very enjoyable. Fewer laughs, but still very good.
Giles, behave yourself. 22 seconds available. Limericks starting now.
There was a young man from Peru whose limericks stopped at line 2, which is why I can't go on with that one. The limerick is furtive and mean. You must keep her in close quarantine, or she slips to the slums and quickly becomes disgusting, revolting, and mean. That is the problem with so many limericks, which hail originally.
Kerry, you've challenged.
What word did that you say at the end there?
It was a bit of a hesitation. It was, you're right.
It was chaos. Right. It was chaos.
It was.
I was limerlin in it.
Yeah, I was. I was channeling Paul.
I thought there was something happening over here. I blamed it on the seat.
Kerry Godleyman, you got in cleverly with 2 seconds to go.
Ooh.
You have 2 seconds if you wanted on limericks starting now.
The rules of limericks are.
At the end of that round, Paul Merton's in the lead, and Kerry, we're asking you to begin the next round. The subject now is junk mail. Junk mail starting now.
I've got a sticker on my letterbox that says, no junk mail, please, but people seem to not see it because they insist on putting pizza leaflets through my door. I shouldn't be too cruel about that, as I used to have a job where I had to deliver junk mail into people's homes. And one day I was walking down the street and happened upon a burning bin. And it seemed really not a good idea to not burn all the junk
mail. Oh. Jenny Challenge.
Sorry, I thought she said this, not
no,
quite.
She said burning and burn.
No, it was something else, and I apologise, Carrie, and I would like to donate a point for an incorrect...
Well, she's got a point anyway for an incorrect challenge. So an incorrect challenge, you've got another point, and you keep the subject, and there are 34 seconds, Carrie, junk mail starting now.
Sometimes I look in my junk mail, in my email, and it's like living in the upside down, because there's all these junk mails about things that I have no kind of interest in, like claims that I haven't made and prizes that I haven't won.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
A quick repetition of haven't.
Yes.
Yes.
Very well spotted. Well done.
Yeah.
Well. A Paul, a correct challenge, a point. And junk mail's with you. 19 seconds starting now.
I picked the leaflet off the doormat. It said in big, bold, red letters, have you got a hidden history in your life? Do you wish to look back down your family tree and see what your great uncle was up to? Or perhaps an aunt from many centuries ago may have been...
Giles Challenge.
There's an awful lot of big, bold lettering on this little leaflet to encompass this.
I never said little.
You did? I picked it up off the floor.
I didn't say little leaflet.
It was clearly a leaflet. You talked about
it. I said it was on the doormat. It actually fitted the size of the doormat.
How could it have got through the letterbox if it fitted the size of the doormat? You spoke specifically of the big, bold lettering. If you'd just given us the headline, that was fine, and then specified that there was detail in a smaller typeface. But no, this was at least 38 points, or more likely, I'd say 80 points, the
Giles,
typeface, big and bold.
Please, take one of your pills quickly. You made your point, but I don't think it was justified. So, Paul, another point to you. And, 2 seconds to go. Junk mail starting now.
Scrap metal!
Well, we're going round and all over the place with these subjects this week. At the end of that round, Paul's increased his lead. And, Jenny Eclair, it's your turn to begin. The subject, charity shops. Charity shop, 60 seconds, starting now.
I love a good mooch around a charity shop because you never know what you're going to find, apart from those soggy gum children's toys full of germs in the corner. What I'm after is cashmere. In fact, I've been thinking of volunteering in my local charity shop so that I can get first dibs on the stuff that comes in. But you know what I'm after? A Chanel jacket in a size 14. That would do me. Of course, people that have been doing the Marie Kondo thing have filled up our charity shops recently. This is the Japanese girl who says, if an item doesn't spark joy in your life, you must discard it. Hence, charity shops now are closing their doors against your bin liners full of stuff that you've condoed out your gaff.
Repetition of condo.
I thought it was condo and condoed.
What was your challenge?
The repetition of the word condo, first of all a condo girl, and then the word condo later. There was no condoed. Condo and condo was repeated. A quick playback of this, and people do enjoy hissing again, will establish the truth, so I'm quite happy
to see the point now,
and enjoy the satisfaction on a Monday evening and on a Sunday morning when I listen and think to myself, yes, I was right, the people didn't like me being right, but that's the way it was.
Just trying to stop him.
I know. You have a correct challenge. You don't need to emphasise it. And you have 10 seconds on charity shops starting now.
I found the first edition of one of my books in a charity shop, inscribed by me. It said, to my darling mum and dad, thank you for everything you've done.
So, Giles Brandreth was speaking then as we saw it. Gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's still in second place. Paul's out in the lead, and he begins the next round. Mugs, that's the subject. Paul, tell us something about mugs in this game, starting now.
Mugs is an anagram of gums.
Ginny, you have chance.
Oh, it was a hesitation. It was a lovely line, but then he didn't say anything else.
That's all I've got to say. It is also an anagram of smug, but I didn't want to show off.
Ginny, correct challenge. Mugs, 56 seconds starting now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's hesitation, sadly, isn't it? I feel your pain. I do. I feel your pain.
Say, I think that was quite clear.
He did, yeah.
He just
did,
muttered it, Nicholas.
No, he didn't.
I don't mutter clearly in this game. Sorry, yes. Listen, the audience can be the judge. I did say it quite clearly, didn't I?
Yes!
There you are.
Wow.
So, Paul, the correct challenge. You've got it back again with your mugs and the 55 seconds starting now.
Smug is a word that you can make out of mugs as well. I have a collection of mugs at home, variously described with such words as an effort. Japanese for. Why has he interrupted me, Nicholas?
I don't know. Why have we interrupted him?
Because that little bit of gobbledygook was really hesitation, cleverly covered by affecting it to be Japanese.
But he didn't hesitate, repeat, or deviate.
Deviated
all three,
the English
language. I think, simultaneously.
I understood what he was saying.
Oh, did you? I don't know if I mentioned this, Nicholas, but I once saw a marvellous show you did about Edward the Red. I think it needs revival.
43 seconds, Giles.
Oh, what's the subject again?
No, don't tell him. Don't tell him.
It's mugs starting now.
Oh, mugs! Now, the origin of this word is quite interesting. It goes back to the 16th century. It comes from Scandinavia. Mugga! And the reason we call it about our face...
You said it was quite interesting. I didn't find it interesting at all. Bored rigid I was. 16th century Scandinavia, leave it out, Governor.
Well, it could be interesting to Giles, but...
Yeah, not to me, though.
But boring to you.
I didn't say it was quite interesting. I didn't say it was very interesting.
I can't give points for people's inclination or feeling.
No, that's absolutely right. Right.
So Giles and Marie gets the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
34 seconds, Giles. Mugs are starting now.
The Toby Jug has a curious visage, like Mr. Punch. And it was because mugs had these in those Nordic parts that we used the word for face mugs. That is how it came about. I love anagrams. I admire Paul for the genius with which he took the letters M, U, G, and S and then transformed them into other words, such
Harry
as...
challenged.
You said and then and. But is that really petty?
No. If it's you, it's all right.
Is that... thank you.
He's being generous to you and said you've got a correct challenge. So you get a point for that. 13 seconds available. Mugs starting now.
I get given mugs as gifts, and I often think that's because someone lacks the imagination to think of something more interesting to give. It's...
Charles...
Oh, no. Think and think.
And give,
I
right.
Think
and think and give and give.
5 seconds, give. Giles, another point to you. Mugs starting now.
Oh, mugs, I've got a complete collection of them with different French authors. Jules Verne.
So, Giles Brandreth, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has moved forward, but he still hasn't caught Paul Merton, who's in the lead. Then comes Kerry Godleyman and Jenny Eclair in that order. And Giles, we're going to continue hearing from you because it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is friends.
Friends?
Friends. What do you think I said, Paul?
Yeah, no, I look forward to this one.
Friends, Giles, 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
From quiet homes and first beginning out to the undiscovered ends, there's nothing worth the wear of winning but laughter and the love of friends. Are lines from Hilaire Belloc's dedicatory ode. And of course, they encapsulate the joys of friendship. Friends, I've had a few. Not perhaps as many as I might have liked, but there you go. And I cherish my friends. I love them, particularly, it must be said, Mr. and Mrs. Parsons. Annie was obviously my mistress for a number of years, but it developed into friends. That's what we are now.
Right.
Annie, is this true? You've been unfaithful to me? She gets about a bit, doesn't she?
She is around. In the audience and they're embarrassing her no end, I can tell.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's enjoying it, I don't know. But Kerry, you challenge first.
I just thought that deviation. Was a deviation. Yes, it was a deviation.
Absolute
Nicholas.
Deviation, yes.
Thank
I know
you.
Annie quite well.
But not as well as you think.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But I know
you
her
go
taste.
To bingo on a Wednesday, don't you?
Kerry, you have 25 seconds. Tell us something about friends starting now.
In olden times, it was normal to maybe have 3 or 4 friends, and that was about enough. But now in modern times, you...
Oh, Jenny, you challenge.
Times.
Yes, times. You have friends, Jenny? I know you
not
have
many.
Friends, but that's a subject. 18 seconds starting now.
Friends are great, aren't they? Because you can borrow clothes and money off them. I like the ones you don't have to see very often, but still enjoy their company when you do after a decade or so. So that's kind of
Paul challenge.
Very
well, so, yes, it's sort of a sort of deviation.
Yes. Deviation from speech.
From speaking, yes. Friends also Sue. I mean, there was an odd word there. So it was.
I was talking about my friend Sue, but
yes. Sort of hesitation and deviation.
Right, 6 seconds, Paul. Another point to you. Friends are starting now.
As I scanned my eyes towards the horizon, I saw my friends coming towards me in alphabetical order.
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle went, has surged forward. He's overtaken Giles Brandreth. He's now in the lead. And then come Kerry Godleyman and Jenny Eclair in that order. And Kerry, we're back with you to begin. The subject is working from home. 60 seconds if you need it, starting now.
Working from home can be hazardous because I am an expert procrastinator. I will do all kinds of chores that I would otherwise try and avoid. For example, flossing behind the radiators. That can take up to 4 hours.
Who challenged?
I did. Is it physically possible to floss behind a radiator?
Yes.
How big is your radiator gap?
It's big enough for flossing.
It's big enough for you to crouch behind with some.
You can
flossing.
Get some old knickers out with a floss.
I thought you only flossed your teeth.
No. When you're procrastinating, you can floss anything.
I'm liking it. I'd give her the benefit.
I'm not sure I know, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, all right. Anyway, working from home is still with you, Kerry. 39 seconds starting now.
You have to be very disciplined and not watch all your favourite programmes on the television, and you have to focus on what your task is. Sometimes I find it's good to go for a little walk and then a slightly longer one and then postpone going home altogether, which makes it very difficult to do the things you're supposed to do.
Poor challenge.
Hesitation, sadly.
Yes. Sadly. Paul, there are 20 seconds still available. You tell us something about working from home, starting now.
Many years ago, I took up the exil...
Jenny, you challenge.
Hesitation.
So, Jenny, there are still 16 seconds available. Working from home, starting now.
I love working from home because you don't have to do any work at all. Nobody knows. You don't even have to get dressed. I sit there in my pants, just pretend to write another book. In actual fact, I'm looking at Twitter and trying to engage with other people when I should.
So, Jenny Eclair was speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point. And, we're moving into the final round, by the way.
Oh.
I'll give you the situation to redo that. Paul Merton's still in the lead. He's a few points ahead of Giles Brandreth, who's 3 or 4 points ahead of Kerry Godleyman, and she's 1 point ahead of Jenny Eclair. And that is the situation. And Jenny, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a character here, the Artful Dodger. I'm sure you know about him. Let's talk about him. 60 seconds are starting now.
I once went to a fancy dress party as the Artful Dodger. Very easy. All you need is a pair of raggedy breeches, oversized white shirt, little waistcoat, top hat. By the end of the evening, I'd nicked quite a lot of money because I was in character as the Artful Dodger, pickpocketing around my close friends, dipping handbags. I earned 67 quid that night.
Stole 67 quid.
Yeah, but that's what I've been doing all my career. You call it work.
You didn't earn it.
It was quite hard work, built up a sweat.
No, you stole it, so it's deviation. You didn't earn the money, did you?
I think...
I was in character, though.
Oh, yes.
I was in my Artful Dodger, nicking stuff. That was me job, wasn't it, Gov?
Was he from Tokyo?
I think Paul has a legitimate point. Artful Dodger doesn't earn his money, he steals it. So, correct challenge, Paul. Well interpreted. 27 seconds available.
Tell us something about
the Artful Dodger starting now.
In the 1940s film, the character was played by Anthony Newley, who was a very successful child actor who went on to become a huge star. In the version that had been made many years later, there was the musical, the...
Jenny Challenge. Hesitation, yes.
Yes,
hesitation. The Artful Dodger's back with you, Jenny. 16 seconds available, starting now.
In that version, the Artful Dodger was, in fact, played by a young kid by the name of Jack Wilde.
A Paul Challenge.
So, hesitation?
No. She took a deep breath and didn't get it out in time.
Anything. Right, fair enough.
Incorrect challenge, Jenny. You still have the subject. 8 seconds, the Artful Dodger, starting now.
Originally, it was written by Charles Dickens, and it was about a gang of street urchins.
So, let me give you the final score for those interested in the points. Kerry Godleyman came in a very strong fourth place, very strong, but she was only 2 points behind Jenny Eclair, who was 1 point behind Giles Brandrib, and Giles was a few points behind Paul Merton, who was out in the lead. So we say this week, Paul, you are our winner. It only remains me to say thank you to these four fine, exciting, humorous players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Kerry Godleyman, and Giles Brandreth. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle so delicately. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong. We're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're indebted to this lovely audience here, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. And tune in when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute.